Hey y'all, this is Dally Thomas and welcome to Red Dirt Merch. Today we've got lead singer of Chad Miller and the Good Fortune, Chad Miller.
Enough to shake the blues off me. I guess I'll have to wait till the sun goes down. Gonna head to town where the water turns to wine. 'Cause I could really use a miracle tonight. 'Cause I need a sad song and a steel guitar to help cover up the scars on this heart that she left behind. Tall glass to give me the courage to tell her to kiss my ass and give me some peace of mind. Seeing her right now, well, it won't make it all right. So I let the smoke and the whiskey try to fix me.
How's it going, Jed?
Going good, man. How you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just trying to survive over here.
Yeah, it's the same. I think everybody's trying to do that right now. It's slowly but surely it seems like it's getting back to normal, but I guess just kind of one of those deals we got to take day by day.
So let's go ahead and get started. How we start off every podcast interview is how'd you get started in the Texas country music scene?
I started playing guitar when I was about 10. I kind of started writing songs in high school and stuff, and played in 4-H and FFA and all that stuff. And whenever I went to college, I went to South Plains College in Livermore for commercial music, and just started playing around Lubbock. And then I had a blues trio that we kind of traveled around and played shows, and then I kind of gigged on and off to play lead guitar for a few three different bands, and just kind of in the scene and around and about. And and then after I took a kind of got to where I was only gigging maybe once a month or so for several years, and got married and had a family and all that stuff, and got a real job. And whenever I just decided one day that I wasn't happy doing that, and I wanted to go back to music, and that was about 4 years ago, and I dove in head first, and it's been all out ever since. So then I just basically just started calling around and gigging and put a band together and kind of getting into it, man.
That's awesome, man. How did what were some of your inspirations to kind of get started off in this, or did you just kind of just fall into it?
My musical inspirations or what kind of caused us to start playing? Really?
Yeah. Let's start off with like some of your music inspirations, or if you have any role models that kind of pushed you in the right direction to get started being a songwriter.
So my dad played guitar, and he had like this acoustic duo. They played back in the day, and so growing up there's always kind of a guitar around and handy, and so like I say, I was probably about 8 or 9 years old when I asked him to start teaching me. And so I guess when I was about 10, I got a guitar for Christmas, and just never really put it down. But my mom and dad, they really kind of instilled the love of music in me and my brother, who's my drummer in our band. And My mom raised us on classic country and Western swing, Bob Wills and George Strait, Merle Haggard, all them, and Dad raised us on classic rock, you know, Foreigner and Zeppelin and the Steve Miller Band and, you know, the Allman Brothers and all that. So, whenever growing up, that's what we listened to. And then whenever I kind of really started digging into music on my own, it was about the time that the Cross Canadian Ragweed Live at the Wormy Dog album came out, and that was kind of my first introduction into, I guess, Texas country or red dirt music. And then I kind of realized that I like the songwriter. I like listening to lyrics. I'm a lyric guy, and so I kind of started delving in and nerding out on songwriters. So it in a way it kind of came full circle, because I started going back to music that my parents had introduced us to, like Rodney Foster, Foster and Lloyd. You know, I started actually paying attention to some of the Marty Robbins and the storytelling in some of his songs, and then started kind of getting into the songwriters in this genre. So like Sean McConnell, Adam Hood, still Rodney Foster, because he's still a powerhouse.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man. So, and then of course Randy Rogers, Wade Bowen, Cross-Canadian Ragweed, all those guys. So, I mean, it just kind of stemmed out from there. Once I kind of realized that the type of music that I like listening to, it was kind of easy to fall into, to find what really suited me.
Right. I mean, you said it right there. That's kind of what Texas country music's all about, is a mixture of a little rock and old country blues, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of the weirdest genre of music, I think, because Texas country or red dirt music can be so many different things. I was just talking about it to our manager earlier today, and he was saying that he mentioned something about we didn't want to limit ourselves just to Texas country music, and I said, well, just because it's Texas country music or red dirt music, I mean, that can mean so many different things. I mean, nowadays, it's, you know, red dirt or Texas country music almost just means any independent artist doing their own thing and working that has any sort of Southern influence, you know, because there's the Americana artists, there's the R&B soulful guys like Eric Willis or Sean McConnell, and then there's the long talkers like Charlie Stout or
Chris Knight
those guys that are really like just storytellers and have music behind them, basically. And then you got the, you know, there's kind of the Southern rock stuff, the way, like, you know,
got some
Aquarium or Turnpike or Whiskey Myers.
Whiskey Myers, like, that's who I was gonna say.
Roll, but they're still in this genre, so
right.
It can just be it's such a wide variety, and so when people say, you know, they try to peg it down. I mean, you can't really pin down this genre to one specific thing. I mean, everybody just kind of does their own thing, but it still somehow fits in this genre.
Exactly. I think you said it perfectly, man. Like, I was trying to explain to someone the other day that I'd never heard of what Texas country was. And I was like, man, I mean, you could call it Texas country, red dirt, Americana, or just independent artists, you know?
I'm sure they've heard it. They just didn't know what they were listening to.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's basically it, man. If you're an independent artist, and you have an acoustic guitar in your band, you can absolutely label yourself as any or all of those things.
Right. Now you don't always have to have a fiddle in the band to play in Texas no more.
No, man, like our band, we're a four piece rock and roll band playing country music basically, and we kind of ride that line, you know, through our entire show where, you know, especially the original stuff, it's, you know, one will be really twangy and the next one will be a little bit farther on the rock side, and then the next one will be something that, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd could have put out, and the next one will be, you know, just a straight two-step and dance song. So
right. So, well, talking about some of your songs that you got out, you got a new single called Fix Me Tonight. Can you talk to me a little bit about what that song's about?
Yeah, that song is kind of, that song just is really just kind of about being happily unhappy in the shape that you're in or whatever situation they're in, man. It's just about, I mean, honestly, it just says that you're gonna let the smoke and the whiskey. It says I'm gonna let the smoke and the whiskey fix me tonight. It's basically about going to the bar and forgetting your worries, and you're just gonna fellowship and have fun with the people you're with, and try not to worry too much about the outside stuff going on, which is kind of a thing that I think a lot of people need to do right now.
Right, kind of just kick back, relax, and forget about your worries.
Take a deep breath, yeah, for sure.
Yes, sir. So, what are some of the ways that actually helps you write new songs? Are there any kind of steps, or you have like a zen zone that you go to a garage or a place that you go to just to find inspirations for a song?
Man, you always hear people say there's not a wrong or a right or wrong way to write songs. But if there is, I'm probably definitely doing it wrong. it's so weird, man. The way it hits, like I'll think of something and just take a note in my phone real quick or something. And I may come try to tackle it that night, or I may sit on it for 6 months. I mean, like, during the quarantine, I really, really just tried to really just take a break and step back away from music and not have it on my mind at all times. And really, because, I mean, the whole deal, the way I was trying to look at it is, you know, we're about to have this album come out, and then if, you know, when, for the rest of my life, I may never get a forcible two-month break. So I'm going to try to take advantage of it and really use it to kind of recenter and make, you know, just kind of take a beat for a minute. And so I really didn't write very much during the quarantine. And then just a couple weeks ago, I was sitting out on our little patio and took my guitar out there and was just kind of messing around and looked through my phone. And I had two or three different ideas that I had jotted down, and I started working on them and knocked three new songs out in about 2.5 hours or so, and we're working one of them. Two of them will go in our live set, for this next round, this next week, and then one of them is still need to be fleshed out a little bit. But my style of writing is really, I like to write around phrases. So if I hear if a certain phrase or idea catches my ear, I'll jot it down, and then try to think of how that feels, and then put a chord structure or a chord pattern to it, and then try to fill in the blanks, you know. Right. And my style is probably way weirder than anybody else. I don't typically start with the melody, and I don't typically have all the words written first. I just kind of have my system, and it works for me, and hopefully they're good songs. I don't know. I mean, I like them, but I'm not sure. No, hopefully everybody else does.
No, man, I'm excited about, you know, I've seen you live a couple of times, and I'm excited to get to hear some of those songs on an actual album or Spotify.
Yeah, man, it's it's really, 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 really exciting. So we basically had this album done, and we were going to release it at the end of April. And then when all this happened, we had a decision to make whether to, because I mean, we had the whole summer booked. We had a run to Austin, a couple runs to Dallas-Fort Worth, a couple runs to Oklahoma, and a run to Denver and back, and they were all 4-day runs, and we had to cancel all of them. And so we really had to decide whether it was, okay, let's go ahead and get the album out and we'll just try to make do, or let's take a deep breath and realize that, you know, maybe things happen for a reason, and we're gonna, you know, maybe wait just a minute, just take a breath and pause and wait just a minute to put this out. And I'm so glad we did, because we went back and worked on a couple more things. And we actually just sent the final product off to get mastered yesterday. And so hopefully in the next few days we'll have it back. And then we're looking at a mid-July release date. So.
Oh, man, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure, man. And you know, before we weren't gonna do a really long pre-order, pre-download campaign. But this gives us plenty of time, and so we'll probably here the next week or two. You'll probably see some pre-order, pre-download, pre-save links go up, and then and as soon as we get it out digitally, then we'll have only a few weeks to wait before we get it put out. So
right, I was watching an interview, I think it was with Kevin Fowler and Corey Morrow the other day, and they were talking about how be afraid of what you write, because you might be singing that song for the rest of your life if it becomes a hit, you know. Have you ever been afraid of you know, writing something that you're gonna hate to sing for the rest of your life?
I hope that I have that problem, because that means I'm doing my job. That means that it's a catchy ass song and people want to hear it, and hopefully I can write a hit that everybody loves for a really long time. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. And so when I hear, you know, I completely understand their point, but I've also seen it. You know, I've opened for some pretty prestigious guys. I won't mention any names, but several months ago, towards the beginning of the year, I opened for a guy who I think the world of. I still think the world of him. He's got fantastic songs that I was singing, you know, in high school, running around chasing girls and trying to find cheap beer, you know,
right.
Man, it was like the whole night. You know, he has a huge list of very recognizable songs, and the whole night, man, it was like he was doing the exact opposite to sing the melody of the song. And I talked to him after the show, and because I was just so let down, because I had a great set and I had people dancing, and it was just a really good night for me. And then he got up and. Man, it's like nobody gave him anything, and it's hard being up there whenever you have like a hostile crowd, you know, that doesn't give you any feedback.
Right.
And so I asked him after the show. I said, man, is there, you know, is your voice okay, or was it something? And he said, no, man. He said, it's no big deal. He said, I've just been singing these songs for 20 years, so he said, I don't want to say it's boring, but you know, sometimes I like to change it up a little bit, and that kind of blew my mind, because. You know, I'm not in that position yet,
right.
But I've got some songs that have been in my set list for several years, and I still try to sing them the way people know them, because you know, that's your bread and butter, man. That's what people know you for. And so it kills me when I see guys that get burnt out singing their same songs, but at the same time, like, man, I hope I have that problem where I have to get bored of singing my own stuff because people want to hear it so much.
Oh, yeah, no, I hear you, man.
Well, I was going to say one more point to that. I saw an interview with Edwin McCain, and he's the one. He had a few good songs, but his main one-hit wonder was "I'll Be," that was a love song. That was a panty dropper back in the day, man. That was a good one, and it's still a damn good song. And he's aged a lot since then. You know, he's a full on grown up right now, and you know, grown ass man. And so he was singing at a deal, and he was singing some new stuff, and somebody shouted, "Sing the I'll Be," and so he does it. And then at the end, they asked him. They said, "Do you ever get sick of singing that song?" And he's like, "Dude, that song gave me everything I ever have, you know, or ever could have wanted. So I'll sing it till my lungs give out." And so I think that's the approach I try to have, man. If there's this job is a unique situation, it's a blessing. It's, to me, it's the best job in the world. Even on the worst days, it's still the best. It's probably like being a pro golfer. You know, it's a pretty dangerous
right
job.
Next to it.
Or a pro fisherman, you know, or something like that. Just, it's one of those jobs where it's really hard to complain. I mean, there's hard parts. Don't get me wrong. It's a job. It's a grind. You got to work. But I love it. And so I'm going to try to have that attitude and hope that I have that problem one day where people are begging me to sing the same song that I've been singing for 20 years.
Right. No, I hear you. Like, I've always gone to concerts and actually bragged about to people saying, "Oh man, this guy, he sounds just as good live as he does, you know, listen to him on Spotify." Sounds exactly right. But I understand if an artist is big enough to be in that position to change it up and everything. I think the fans should, you know, appreciate that, you know, you hear a song forever and he's actually putting a different spin on it. But that's just my opinion on there. So throughout your career so far, what's been the most difficult task for you?
If you talk to every independent artist, especially in their first 5 years, that doesn't have a full-on team around them, and they don't say booking their line. Booking is the worst. Booking is the worst, man. It sucks so bad. I spend hours and hours sending emails and making phone calls, and but still, it's like I said. I mean, the worst day booking is still better than any other day doing anything else. So, but booking really sucks. But other than that, man, it's really, for me, it's this is a dream job.
So, what are some of the future things you have in store for us?
Well, the big deal is, we've got a tentative release date of the middle of July for our new album. And, man, we've been working on it a long time. We've done everything that we could possibly do to it to make it as good as we think we can make it. And, turned it over to Fort Worth Sound. Mr. Bart Rose himself is mastering it, so we're really excited about that. I mean, he's put out hits for tons and tons of people in this scene. Fort Worth Sound is an amazing studio, and I couldn't be happier that he's mastering our album. But you know, we've got one single off of the album now, Fix Me Tonight, and then we're probably gonna push another one shortly after the album release. But yeah, man, pretty much everything right now is pointing towards the album release. But we've got some cool shows coming up. Next Thursday we're at the Blue Lot in Lubbock. So this will be June 11th. Depending on what day somebody might listen to this. And then August 8th, we're back at the Blue Lot. We're opening up for Eric Willis. That's going to be a really fun show. Eric's a fantastic musician and a great guy, so that'll be a lot of fun. And it's always a good night at the Blue Lot. So other than that, man, we're just like everybody else right now, trying to fill our schedule back up and get back out on the road and get the wheels turning again.
Right. So let me ask you one more question on how you've kept yourself busy throughout this quarantine so far.
Man, so I used to have a carpentry slash construction shop, and so I had a bunch of scrap metal at the shop, and I brought it to the house and built this covered patio thing over the back of our little patio at the back of our house, and pretty much got most of the honeydews. Whenever you're busy and your wife asks you to do something, you always, my general response is, yeah, honey, I'll get to it when I got time. I'll get to it when I got time. Well, I've had nothing but time for the last couple months, so I've been knocking out honeydews, and I actually have green grass in my yard this summer, which is nice. So other than that, we've been writing, we've been working on the album, we've been practicing, we've been, as far as music goes, we've been designing logos and merch and, all the normal stuff, but other than playing music, we've been trying to stay busy around the house and keep everything, fix the things that needed fixing and do the things that needed doing.
No, I hear you on that honey-do list. You kind of run out of excuses to push around anymore.
Yeah, it's easy whenever you're gone. If I've got to go, if I'm on the road Wednesday through Sunday or something, it's easy to kind of convince her, hey, I can't do it Monday or Tuesday because those are kind of my days to rest and recuperate. And, Wednesday I got to get ready and hit the road, and then I'll be back on Sunday, and then it kind of starts over again. So I promise I'll get to it when I get to it. But whenever, take a look at your calendar, and your gigs and runs for the next 2 months have been canceled, it's pretty easy to go ahead and get to getting on that list for sure. But
Right.
my wife is fantastic. She knows the life, and she understands and knows how it is. But she's sure enjoyed getting to check those things off the list for sure.
That's awesome, man. Behind every good songwriter is a good wife.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Well,
Or a
thank.
couple of
Yeah, all right. In some artist cases.
Multiple.
Well, thank you so much, man, for coming on.
Oh, man, thanks for having us. And just so you know, man, me and the guys, we absolutely appreciate every single thing you're doing is, I mean, a blessing to us. We know that you're working hard and you're getting this thing up and running, and you're posting content constantly. And when we have something come up, dude, every time you chime in or post a link or a comment or advertise for us, it does not go unnoticed. And you are doing a hell of a job, and it is a service that everybody in this industry should appreciate and take advantage of. So I hope everything that you're working on just continues to blow up. And because we all really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much, man. I mean, we're trying over here. I mean, we're just wanting to support the local Texas country artists around the area and help the fans know y'all just a little bit more. If y'all'd like to know more about Chad Miller and the Good Fortune, go to chadmillerandthegoodfortune.com. And as always, for all of your Texas country music, merch, events, and podcasts, go to www.reddirtmerch.com.
So I'll howl along with the fiddle. You might even see me cry a little. Man, she really did a number on me. Neon lights have never let me down. I guess it could have been the problem somehow. Cause I need a sad song and a steel guitar to help cover up the scars on this heart that she left behind. And I need a stiff drink and a tall glass to give me the courage to tell her to kiss my ass. Give me some peace of mind. Seeing her right now, well, it won't make